Right, we are holding on Mem Ches, Amud Aleph, exactly on schedule. This is a luxury that we did not have last time around, so we have to look at the beautiful silver linings that the situation is affording us. That is that Daf Yomi gets to stay up to schedule no matter what. All right, here we go. So, Rabba v'Rav Zera iklo'u lebeit Reish Kalus. So they visited the Reish Kalus's house, second line down. Chazir lahahi avda. They saw a certain servant over there. The anach kuzu de maya, that he placed a jug of water, apuma de kumkuma, on the top of a hot water urn. And says Rashi, this jug of water was filled with cold water. So Naz Haya Rabba. Rabba screamed at him, or he gave him, like, what are you doing? Amalir Abzerim. Why are you screaming? Maishnami Mecham Akab Mecham. It's going to be a Mefurisha Mishnah, a Braisa, at the end of our parak, that it is permitted to go ahead and place a jug or a hot water urn on top of another hot water urn. So why is this any different? And he said, Amalay Hasam Ukumi Kamaikim. Over there, you're just maintaining the heat. The top one is already filled with hot water, and the bottom one is only maintaining the heat, so it doesn't get lukewarm. However, over here, you're starting it to become hot. You're making it hot. And the chiddush of the Gemara is that even if your intention is to pull it away before you want to actually cook it, because l'chayra, the chiddush of our Gemara is not that there's cooking on Kli Sheni, I mean, that on Kli Rishon, that we already know. So probably the chiddush of the Gemara is, even if you're planning on taking it away, that's what I would say. That's the chiddush of our Gemara. I think that would be it. So Hadar Chazya, then another the same servant. Hadar Chazi de Paras das tudar apume de kuva. He then saw that this slave placed a sheet, a shirt or whatever, a headscarf, on top of a barrel of wine, or a barrel and of wine. Va'anach nat la'uluye, and he placed the scooper or whatever you the jug that you use to scoop from the barrel of wine, he placed it on top of this headscarf, which was placed on top of the barrel. Now say Rabban again, Rabba screamed at him. This guy, it was not his good day. Amalei Rab Zera, Amai, why are you screaming? Amalei Hashta Chazis, you'll see in a second. The Saif, he saw that this servant goes ahead, picks up the headscarf, and squeezes out all the water that came from the fact that they had dipped a wet jug, that he put a wet jug on top of it. So he said, you see, this guy is over the isser of squeezing. So he said, but what's that? Why is that any different than a regular, some sort of cloth cover that they had for the barrel tops? Because the barrel cover, even if it's made out of cloth, you don't care if it gets dirty or wet. That's the whole point of it. So you're not going to come to squeeze it out. Over here, you will come to squeeze it out. And indeed, Rava's suspicion was born to be true as the servant subsequently squeezed out this headscarf. All right, the Gemara continues, V'lei b'tevin, one is not allowed to do hatmana with tevin, with these type of straw. Muchen, the next thing in the Mishnah was muchen, which is a tufts of soft material, such as wood or cotton. Shetaman behen. So generally, wool is muksa because you're going to go ahead and use it for something else. It's raw material that's not usually used in its raw material form. So generally, it might be considered muksa. What's the halacha if you use this wool for hatmana? You used it to put your chalent in. So aside from the fact that a couple months down the line, when somebody goes to the store and buys a nice wool suit, they're going to wonder why it smells like chalent. But are you allowed to go ahead and move that muchan, and move this muchan on Shabbos? Muchan shetamim b'en. Ma'u l'taltal on b'Shabbos. What's the halacha with regards to moving it on Shabbos? Amar lei. No. Well, just because you needed, you were shas adchak and you needed material to put your chalent in, and you didn't have enough straw around. V'chim b'pnei she'en le'kupa shel tevin. Since you didn't have straw, which is apparently much more normal thing to be to do hatmana in. Oymed umafkir kupa shel bet muchan. You think that your muchan is not still designated to be used as the true raw material it is for wool? Right now, you needed a punk this week, but it's still going to be muksa. It's still very expensive. So it's not batal to the hatmana job that you designated it for. Leima misayele, let us say a proof to this from the following Mishnah. Toimin begizei tzemer, ubetzipei tzemer, one is permitted to do hatmana with gizei tzemer, which is tufts of wool, and ubetzipei tzemer is after this wool was combed, and laid out in, like, you know, comb mats, and it was mildly processed. It was the raw wool after it has been combed into, you know, processing ability. It's the first step. Ubelashayne shel argaman. It's after this wool was already dyed and combed. So now that's where the word tongues come from. It's long. This is the way it was sold. You can imagine just like hanging down tongues of purple wool. Ubamuchen, you're allowed to do hatmana in all of these things. However, ve'ein metatlin, my son, but you can't move them. At this point, the Gemara thinks that even though you did hatmana with them, nevertheless, you can't move them. So we see clearly that even though you used it this week, you still cannot use it. So the Gemara says, "Imishim ha lo iria." Nah, if that's your raya, it's not a raya. The brisa means generally they're muksa, and if you didn't do hatmana with them, they would be muksa. But now it's not muksa. Hachi gamar im loy taman b'hem. Had you not done hatmana with them, then ein matatlan son. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi mai lememar." So then, what's the chiddush? Shkayach that they're muksa. Of course they're muksa. The Gemara says, "Ma'ud the same chazilim izgur lahu kamashmalan." I would have thought that no, it is roy to do to that these tongues. You are able to lie on them, and therefore they shouldn't be muksa, even if you didn't do hatmana with them. Kamash malan, that no, the chiddush is that something that is designated to be sold or whatever is going to be muksa. Something that is designated to be made into that generally most people agree that this is not its final product and it's on its way to be serving something better is going to be muksa. The Gemara says Rav Chisda is another Gemara that is more melachais. Then, like I said many times, the limud in Shabbos, generally, when you're learning Be'iyun, is not straight. You pick and choose. Either you're picking and choose Bishul, or you're picking and choosing. So if you're picking and choosing Bishul, then you stop here. And actually, you're picking and choosing Bishul, you stop before. And then you did, this is a sugya of muksa right over here. And now we're going to have a sugya of melachas. So there's four main categories. So now we're doing back to Malachas. Rav Chisda shari la hadure udra lebei sadya b'shabsa. Rav Chisda permitted one to return the stuffing of his pillows and blankets on Shabbos. Meaning he had a blanket filled with down or whatever, and some of the down came out. It is permitted to put the stuffing back in the pillow. Eisei Rav Chanan bar Chisda l'Rav Chisda matirin beis hatzava b'shabsa v'loy paisrin. It's Mefurash Mishnah that says that you're allowed to, if you took your tzitzis, let's say, just imagine your tzitzis, and you gave it to the cleaners, and the cleaners tied a knot in the opening of the neck, because that's how it was cleaned easier. The washer used to always tie the knot. So you're allowed to untie that knot on Shabbos, but because the halachas of untying a knot are that if it's not made for a long time or if it's not made, halacha is lemaisa, that a kesha she'ena shel kayama, that is not made for a long term, is mutter to untie. Nowadays, A, we don't know what a kesha she'ena shel kayama is, and we're machmor on everything, even double knots, even though almost for sure a double knot is not a kesha shel kayama. And a kesha she'umran, okay, a professional knot. And also, it was not made forever, it was made just till you get to your house. So therefore, it's mutter to undo that knot. However, it's not mutter to create the hole in the beginning, to create your tzitzis, because that's makar bepatish. And some say koreya. Matir and beisot tzara b'shavas, you're allowed to undo the knot that the launderer put in. However, avaloi peyeschen, you're not allowed to cut open l'chatchila the hole. Because like I said, it's either makar bepatish or koreya. How could it be koreya? The chiddush of those who say it's koreya is as follows. It's a very big chiddush. Because generally, koreya is only usher if it's almanas to do something good. If it's almanas to re-put it together. Over here, it's not almanas to re-put it together, but at the same time, it's a final product. It's a positive without a future intent. So it's a very big chiddush that it's chayav. Not everybody holds that it's chayav. For example, when you erase, the malacha of erasing is only if it's for a positive intent. That means I see a letter in the essay for Torah that got messed up. So I need to erase it in order to rewrite it correctly. That's the only time I'm really chayev for Korea. However, from this Gemara, from this Gemara, because most people in the Gemara is Makar Bepatish, but from those who learn that it's Korea, we see that if it's a positive benefit, even though there is no future plans for it, it's also considered a Korea positive. For example, let's say I have in my notebook, John owes me $1,000, and he paid me back. So now he's not going to give me the money until I erase it. So that erasing, I'm erasing it with absolutely no intention to write on that place ever again, but it's a positive benefit. I'm making $1,000 by erasing it. So according to those Rishonim, it's going to be chayev. Mishnah Berurah talks about this case as well, in Korea, in erasing, Meichik. So and the Mishnah Brisa finishes off, you're not allowed to put the stuffing into a pillow or blanket. And certainly on Shabbos. Not only on Yontif, when you're allowed to do things that are l'chol nefesh, but even on Shabbos, when there's full restrictions. Says the Gemara Leikasha, Hobachadati Hobatiki. If it's putting it in for the first time, five lines from the bottom, if it's putting it in for the first time, then it's taka going to be usher. And that's the second brisa. Reb Chisda was mattering it only to be returned to the first returned. And that's Tanya Rabbi Yahweh, a brisa that says, well, Enes in the Samuchel, the Techakav, the Techakas is beyond the Vain Sarah Lemur B'Shabbos. However, Nashru, if it falls out, Matzir Nes in B'Shabbos, you'll have to return it. But not on Yantif. And this, by the way, is a halacha that exists by all these halachas. For example, very nogea, not as nogea if down falls out of your pillow, although it could happen, but more nogea is, let's say, putting your shoelaces back in the eyelets of the shoe. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So you're not allowed to do it for the first time. You're only allowed to return it to the... to the eyelets. And it's got to be that shoelace with that shoe. Kent. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, HaPeseach, Beisat Tzavar, B'Shabbos, Chayv Chatas. If somebody opens his neck on of his tzitzis, he cuts open the hole of his tzitzis in order to be able to place his neck inside, his head inside. Halacha is his Chayv Chatas. It's a full-blown malacha. So either it's Makar Bepatish, like I said, Maskevla, or Maskevla of Kahana. Why is this any different than the halacha that states that it's permitted to open the top of a barrel? We're going to have a gemara towards the end of the mesechta that a person is allowed to crack open the top of a barrel. Says the gemara, over there, the barrel top and the barrel are really two separate entities. And they're just glued together in the factory by the guy who pre-created this wine. However, so therefore, since it was not really one piece, therefore breaking it open is not considered a new malacha, because lamais at the end of the day, it's still two separate entities, albeit they're glued together. However, this one, this case of having a four-cornered garment with no place for your neck and you cut out a hole, you're straight. You're making a complete separation of one thing that was at one point two items. You're making a complete separation of one thing, sorry, that was a single item, and you're tearing it into two separate items. This, of course, is the sugya of opening bottles, and it has to do with this as well. Rami l'Rab Yirmiyahu l'Rab Zeira, Tanat shalal shel kovsin, v'shal shela shel mafteches, v'habeged shehu tofer b'klayim. So, speaking, the Gemara now goes off on a little tangent by Tumah. But it's not. It just lasts this page. So. But it will be for the rest of the day. The halacha is that one is, with regards to Tumah, so the Gemara now discusses what is considered a chibor. Meaning, if I touch, let's say I touch my kavak, the bottom of the kavak, does the top become tameh? Or, let's say I touch a charging cell phone, right now. So, does the wire become tameh? Is it connected? So that's going to be the Gemara's questions right now. Tanan. So, since we were talking about chibor and the connections of items, we bring this up. Shalal shel kovsin, if your person has the method of the launderers was that they used to go ahead and tie the garments that they were being laundered, let's say two socks. They used to, put a couple stitches together in order to have them tied together. Or if you have a whole, like mittens on a coat. You don't want to lose your mittens, so the launderers used to go ahead and tie them together with the bigger coat, so it didn't get lost. So shalal shel kovsin, v'shal shela shel mafteches, or if a person has a cloth keyring and he has all his keys together in it, or v'habeged shehu tofer b'klayim, or a garment that is, let's say, two wool garments that are tied together with linen, and therefore, since you know before somebody wears this, it's going to be taken apart, because otherwise the guy will be over in Issa D'Oraisa. So it's very probable that these stitches are going to be taken out, and these two socks are not going to be paired together forever. All these three items, the expectation is that it's going to be stuck together only for a little bit. In the case of the launderers, as soon as it gets out and he sends it back to your house, the next time you wear your socks, the understanding is you're going to rip those stitches. And the shalshel shal mafteches also, I guess, if you need to use the keys, you're going to be taking them apart. And of course, the one with klayim, you're going to be taking it apart before you use. So, chibur l'tumah, says the Gemara. It is considered a chibur for tumah. Nevertheless, if you touch one sock, the other sock, which was stitched together, is also tameh. It is considered a chibur. Ad sheyascha lahatar, until you start doing the process of untying it. At that point, once you start the process of untying it, even if it becomes tummy before it's fully untied, it's nevertheless not attached anymore. And if one sock becomes tummy, the second sock does not become tummy. Alma, however, the entire duration of the car ride from the laundromat until your house, it is considered a chibur, even though it's no longer usable, even though it's no longer needed in that fashion. The launderer no longer needs it. While it's in the washing machine, he doesn't want the socks to get lost. So he ties it together. But as soon as he puts it in your bag to ship home, he doesn't need to tie it together anymore. And nevertheless, even though you don't need to tie it together anymore, at that point, it's still considered an attachment. V'reminu, says the Gemara, I'll ask you a stira. If a person has makal sha'asa yad l'kardum, if a person has a stick, that he put into an axe head to act as a handle for the axe head, says the Gemara, it is considered an attachment while you work, while you're swinging it and chopping down trees. You are considered it is considered an attachment between the axe head and the axe handle. However, as soon as you finish your chopping, even before you start dismantling your axe, it is no longer considered an attachment. So that's a stira. Everybody understands that while it's attached and while you're working, it's considered an attachment. That's understandable. Everybody understands that once you start to take it out, it's not an attachment. That's understandable. The question is the time in between. The case of the laundromat is mavur, the time in between, it's still considered an attachment. The case of the axe head, it's mavur that it's not considered an attachment. What is the pshat? He answered him, there's a difference in the materials. Hasam shaloi b'shas malacha, adam asui l'zorka l'bein ha'itzim. the regular pshat in Shaloi b'shayas malacha, a person generally throws this, he has a minhag to, he throws it. The normal way of these axe choppers, of these wood choppers, is they, as soon as they finish taking it, it's very normal for them to go ahead and take out the stick and throw it away. They don't save it at all. They don't, literally as soon as they finish chopping, the minhag was to take it apart. So because you didn't, it's not going to change the fact that most people do, and therefore it's not considered an attachment afterwards. However, hacha, in the case of the laundromat, the normal manner of the laundromat is to keep them together. Because in case he sees a spot and that he didn't do a good job, he keeps it together until it goes back to your house and you start taking it apart. That's the normal method. So it is kept together afterwards. The laundromat is happy that it's stuck together. Because the imit nifu, because if for whatever reason it gets dirty again, he can whiten it again. Why do people take apart their axes right away? I don't know, maybe it's just because it's annoying. But unfortunately, I see from here a question on a great vart that I love. It says in the Gemara that there's no yontif like the yontif of Tisha B'Av. Why? What was the thing? So the Gemara gives several reasons. One of them was a major dating day. That's the famous one. There's another couple other answers. The Gemara says, one of the answers is that was the day that the people who chopped wood for the Mizbeach broke their axes. And why? Because at that point, the sun wasn't at its peak anymore and the wood wasn't optimal anymore. And they went to learn. So the Ha'ara is, I mean, they went to learn, so how many, well, I'm saying, it was a full day job, I guess, but how many people was it? 40, 50 people? How many people chopped wood for the Mizbeach? It was a kvutz of, let's say, 40, 50 people. So why was it such a simcha for Klal Yisrael? It's not like the whole Klal Yisrael didn't go to their backyards every day and have to chop wood for months, and finally today's the day they get the rest. The Teretz is that it was 40 or 50 people that worked, and that point, they had no more work, so they went to learn in Koil until the next year's session. So, and they didn't have Koil back then. It wasn't like every city had a Koil. Koil was an invention of Rav Aaron Koller. So the Chiddush was, it was the Yontif in Klal Yisrael because it was the start of a Koil every year. This is the day that they started the Koil, where you had people who were just learning the whole day. So the question is, why did they have to break, the part of the speech is, so why did they have to break their axe? It says that they broke their axe. This is the day that they broke their axe. So the answer is because when you're in Kail, you can't think of, oh, I'm going afterwards to get my money. While you're in Kail, you have to break your axe. That's it. I'm not involved in business at the time that I'm in Kail. While you're learning, the business has to be broken. But I see from this Gemara, that's not the pshat. From this Gemara, it says that as soon as a person finishes chopping his axe, he just breaks, chopping wood, he just breaks the axe. That's the minhag of the people. So it wasn't such a chiddush that they broke. That they broke their axe. But so the next time I hear that speech, I'm not gonna just say Ayin Shabbos Mem Chesem Abeis. That's the chayra, the real pshat in the Gemara. Now I know the real pshat in the Gemara. Benkach Benkach, it's a great vart, but so from a good question shouldn't ruin a great vart. That's okay. So. Besura masni lahashmaitza mishmeter of Chizda, bepumpetisa masni mishmeter of Kahana. In Surah, they said over this Gemara that we just said it like now in the name of Chizda, and Pumpetisa they said it over the name of Kahana, and some say Va'amrila mishmeter Rava, in the name of Rava. Man tana ha milsa da amar rabbanan. Oh, it could be that everything was going. Who is the Tana of the following statement? Kala mechuber loy harayu kamaya. Anything that's attached has a din of it. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. It's Rabbi Meir. It is the positioning of Rabbi Meir. Ditnan. Now, if you can imagine, we talked about the kiras last parak, where you have a something that looks like a regular rectangular cardboard box. That was what their kiras looked like, except it was made out of thick cheras, thick. Pottery. So on the side of these ovens, they had three stands. If you can imagine, you know, your menorah with the shamash as a stand for the... So a lot of times the menorah, like a big menorah, has a little stand for a jug holder. It has like a little place to put some oil. So if you can imagine that they had this box, and on the side of the box there were three cups. Those three cups were removable, and you used to keep oil in one. You used to keep spices in another, and I guess you used to keep wicks in the third one. So beis hapach, so these three cups that are attached to the oven, beis hapach, beis hatavlin, beis haner, shebekira, that are part of the kira. Mitamin b'maga, they become tame if the oven is touched by a dead rat, and the oven contracts tuma. These things contract tuma as well. However, v'ein mitamin ba'aver, they do not become tameh if the oven, which is made out of pottery, contracts tumah via the air. Meaning, a cheres item could become tameh. If you just dangle the lizard in the airspace, the entire cheres oven will become tameh. However, in that case, the tumah does not stretch to these external hanging jugs. Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon says, no, they're matar. So the Gemara says, first of all, what on earth is Pshat and Rabbi Meir? Bishtam of Rabbi Shimon, I can understand Rabbi Shimon. He holds that the external jugs, since they're removable, are not really part of the oven. Lav kikir damo. They're not part of the oven. So therefore, no matter how the oven becomes tameh, it does not extend to these externally hanging jugs. El Rabbi Meir, but according to Rabbi Meir, monavshach. If you hold that the externally hanging jugs, since they're lemaisa attached in some small way, they are like the oven. So then afilu ba'aver na'amilu tumeh. Even if the oven becomes tameh via the airspace, it should also transfer the tumeh to these jugs. And ilav kikira dami, if it's not like kikira, then afilu b'maga na'amilu tumeh. Then even if the oven becomes tameh through maga, it should not become tameh. And the Gemara answers, la'olam lav kikira dami. Really, even Rabbi Meir agrees that it's not attached. V'rabbanu d'gazir b'hu, and it's a gzeir d'rabbanan. So, igazir b'hu afilu ba'aver nami, let me. So, if they made a gzeira, you should make the gzeira even for the airspace. And the Gemara says, no, we wanted to make something different so that we can, it could be discernible that this is only mid'rabbanan. And this way, now that we know that it's only d'rabbanan, people will not come to go ahead and burn truma because of it. Because the halacha is, let's say you have truma that touched one of these jugs. So if it's only tamei midrabban, if it's tamei deraisa, you must burn truma that's tamei, that's your chiyuv. If it's not tamei deraisa, it's also deraisa to burn the truma. So we want to make people aware that this truma is only derabbanan, therefore you won't come to burn it. So that you don't come to burn tumah and kachim if it contracts this type of tumah. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, Maspiros shel perakim. If you have scissors, back in the day the scissors were just two blades that were held together by a pin, and after you finished using them, you took apart the two blades. And if you ever needed it again, you put the pin back in. But they were basically... They came apart. The izemel shel rihitani, and an izemel is a plane. So apparently, there was this piece of wood that you used to attach a very sharp and strong metal blade in there, and you used to move it back and forth, and it was used to either fine up leather or cut leather. Benkach u'benkach, it was one of the tools used in the leather making process. And it was comprised of a wood handle and a metal blade. And apparently, it was easy to make them come apart and back and forth. So, chibur l'tumah v'ein chibur l'hazoya. It was a chibur. It is considered an attachment with regards to tumah. Meaning, if your wood handle becomes tameh, so does the metal blade. If one metal blade of the scissors becomes tameh, so does the other metal blade of the scissors. However, ve'ein lechibur lahazoya, meaning it's considered two separate kelim with regards to getting sprinkled with the para aduma waters. Meaning, if this cup becomes tameh, which it is tameh because it's in chutz la'aretz, it has to undergo when Mashiach comes. If I want to drink from it and then use it for my carbon pesach,
I would have to make it get sprinkled with the part of Duma waters. But I don't have to sprinkle the whole thing. Merely spritzing it like that and having one drop fall on it will be matahir the whole cup. Because the whole cup is one entity. However, on scissors, it's not like that. Nowadays, scissors are one entity, so yeah. But back in the day, the scissors, they came apart or not. So if you sprinkle it and the water has fallen on only one blade, the other blade does not attain tahira. And you must sprinkle on the other blade as well. It is not considered a chibur with regards to the other blade as well. Questions the Gemara again, Manav Shach. That doesn't make sense. Because Manav Shach, I chibur hu, if it is considered an attachment, so then afilu lahazoya nami. Even with regards to getting sprinkled by the Para Aduma waters, it should apply that if one gets sprinkled, it's all considered one keli. And ilav chibur hu, if it is not considered an attachment, afilu l'tum enami loy. Even with regards to Tumah, if one side becomes Tumah, then why should the other side become Tumah? And it answers the Gemara Amar Rava, Dvar Torah Midiyaraisa, it depends. B'shas Chibor, B'shas Melacha, at the time of Melacha, at the time during when you attach them together and you're actually using them as scissors, then if one side becomes Tumah, the other side becomes Tumah. And it's considered a Chibor. And if one side gets Hazaya, the other side gets Hazaya. It is considered a Chibor. That's Midiyaraisa. Bein the Tumah, Bein Hazaya. And when it's not in use, you put it in the mukzah drawer, and it's still nevertheless attached. It is not considered a chibur, not for tumah and not for hazayah. However, the Rabbanan made a gezerah in both cases. With regards to becoming tumah, they made a gezerah that even if it's not in use, it's still going to become tumah one to the other. And with regards to becoming tahar, a kula, they made a gezerah the other way, that it's not going to be attached even while it's being used. Because Rabbanan al tumah shaloi b'shas malacha, the Rabbanan made a gzeira with regards to tumah shaloi b'shas malacha, mishum tumah shabashas malacha, or to tumah b'shas malacha, va'al hazoya shabashas malacha, mishum hazoya shaloi b'shas malacha. Okay, that sums up today's daf, and so I guess we'll take a stop over here, a pause over here, unless we have any shailas. But. Yeah, we have, oh, am I? I'm sorry. Was everybody? Yeah. I didn't realize I was on mute the whole time. Was anybody talking? I apologize. I saw some people like mute and unmute, and I'm like, okay, I guess they decided not to speak. And then I see Reuven waving his hand like, oh. So, all right, I apologize. Did anybody say anything? Michael, you were saying something before. Now you're on mute. Now you're on mute.
I was just commenting about how, like, with planes and scissors, I mean, we still have, I think this is a carpenter's plane, which today we use planes for wood, not for leather. It's basically, it's a wood piece with a little blade, and so it smooths the wood. You use it, like, I'll use it on a door, like, sometimes, like, in summer when it expands or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you have one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can use it on the top, so basically...
I actually can borrow that from you. My closet door is very annoying.
that's the kind of tool that you would use to basically grind waves on the top of the door so it would close.
Okay, so maybe we'll be in touch. My front closet door does not close.
That's a plane. And then I was going to send kitchen shears. I don't know if you have those, but like for cutting up chicken.
I mean, I have one, but it doesn't come apart. I have a regular KitchenAid ones, you know.
Because the ones that I have come apart because that way you can clean them. Because otherwise you get chicken stuck in the very base of it. So they're designed to come apart so you can wash them independently. So that'd be like, oh, I guess it wouldn't be my couple too much if you take it apart.
Right. We're saying that with regards to tumah, it would be tumah midrabanan.
Right, midrabanan would be tumah.
Yeah.
Even when it's apart, even though it's.
So actually, while it's apart, is Tosis discusses while it's apart. The simple reading of Rashi is that while it's not in use, that's the gezeira midrabanan. But if it's apart, then that's the machlekas. Tosis discusses that in E. Whether or not it's even while it's apart, it might have a. But yeah, the Pashta Savra Sukhya is talking about while it's not in use specifically. Yeah. All right.
Ready?
Yeah.